And we're going to take calls this hour with Benjamin Baruch. His website is his name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Lots more to chat about as well when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Benjamin Baruch, and we are going to take your calls this hour. Is there a way out for us, Benjamin? I've got a lot of faith in our country. What do you think?
Well, there is a way out, and that way is salvation through Jesus. There's also a redemption coming for the United States of America. And, you know, after the eagle's wings are plucked from the lion, this is a reference to Daniel chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
The eagle's wings represent America. The lion is England. And after the eagle's wings are plucked, which is the events of World War III, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, the other three beasts of Daniel's vision in chapter 7, they will come together as the beast of Revelation 13, the one world government of the Antichrist. But the eagle's wings will be given to the woman, the remnant of Revelation chapter 12. And what will be left of the United States will be used of God to basically save and deliver his people. So the United States is not going to lose World War III. We will ultimately overcome our enemies. And actually, the greatest days of the history of our nation are yet ahead, but we will walk through a terrible trial. But George, I want to just tie the loop on the reference to the Black Plague of the 1300s.
Okay.
The reason why I brought it up, not only does it tie to the Black Sea, but in an interesting coincidence, Black Plague ended in the year 1353. Well, what's the meaning of that number? Well, coincidentally, or maybe not, the coronavirus was released in the fall of 2019. That happens to be 666 years later.
Oh.
So, you know, the clues are all here. God's putting all of these post-it notes in the heavens to try to wake the people of the earth to the lateness of the hour, because we are entering in the very last of the last days. And Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is coming back soon. First, we're going to endure a time of testing such as never was. But those who have found faith, those who call upon the name of the Lord, and the scripture declares, whoever calls upon his name will be saved. So, you know, when these terrifying events come, and they're going to be terrifying, people should just remember, you can pray. Get yourself a Bible. If you're currently a non-believer or an atheist today, that doesn't matter at all. And whosoever would come is welcome.
Let's go to the calls here for you. Let's go to Glenn in San Antonio, Texas to get us started. First-time caller. Hello, Glenn.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Benjamin. Hey, I have a question. Benjamin, you read, I am certain, in Revelation about the second beast that came out of the earth, had two horns, looked like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. I have a certain belief about who that is. I'd like to ask you, what is your belief?
Well, you're talking about the reference to the false prophet. And well, I think it's pretty clear. The false prophet is going to lead the one world religion that will worship the Antichrist. And I don't know that I want to out a world figure on this program, but who is it that you think is going to do this job?
I believe the beast that came out of the earth is the United States of America. The two horns represent the political power and the religious power, which were separated. And at the beginning of the founding of our great country, one great country, I'd like to say, our forefathers were Christians, and obviously our government and a lot of people in this country have gone away from Christianity, have become atheists, don't believe in God anymore. And it looked like a lamb. That's the reason. But now it's talking more and more like a beast.
Is this non-belief going to come back and punish us, Benjamin?
Well, America is guilty of the blood guilt of millions of babies that have been murdered, of millions of innocent children, innocent girls that have been trafficked into sexual slavery and abuse. America is the mother of abominations that have filled the earth. Our pornography has defiled the planet. The world smokes our cigarettes, has gone into debt with our banks, uses American weapons to fight their wars. America truly has defiled the earth. And in Revelation 18, it makes mention that America, Babylon, has deceived the whole world with its pharmacology. The word is translated as sorcery, but it's really the pharmaceutical industry of the United States that has deceived the whole world. And these major pharmaceutical giants, it's a known fact that they've all been convicted of corporate crimes, lying, you know, misstating safety results on a number of their drugs. Merck sold Vioxx when it knew it would cause 250,000 heart attacks. They did it anyway. They ran the calculations and figured it would still be profitable to sell a drug that would poison large numbers of people.
And it was profitable. They made a lot of money.
Well, that's correct. Yeah, you're right.
Next up.
So, you know, the industry is definitely deceived the whole world. And, you know, the greatest deception of all is occurring right now before our eyes, but it's probably a subject for another program.
Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hey, Tom.
Thank you, George, and thank you, Benjamin. You always bring the most interesting information to the table, and I thank you for that. And a comment and then a friendly question. And the comment is that the biblical documents were originally in Hebrew and then the Aramaic and then the Greek. And, of course, most of us in the audience, we read English translations. And what I notice is some people look at the biblical documents as the letter of truth, word for word, the letter of truth. But yet, I don't know, I have a sense that maybe we should be looking at the biblical documents as the spirit of truth. And pray for illumination from Jesus, etc., to illuminate us on the spirit of the documents. So that brings me to my question, which is the letter of truth or the spirit of truth, and more importantly, what English translation would be most useful for us in the audience to analyze biblical prophecy? And again, Benjamin, thank you for what you do.
Well, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. I'm absolutely thoroughly am blessed and love the Word of God. To answer your question, the Scripture does say the letter of the law kills, and it is the Spirit that gives life. And, you know, I think the issue comes down to men in their natural mind, the mind of the carnal man with its knowledge of good and evil, which we inherited through the fall, which is contaminated by sin, in which we see ourselves as always right or the innocent victim of others wrong. We see our neighbor as always responsible for everything that went wrong, where we're critical, judgmental. The last thing we ever want to do is love one another. You know, that mindset, if it uses the Bible, it will always kill people. It will always divide. It will always discriminate. It's the Spirit of God that gives life. One must be born again in order to truly be saved. On the day of judgment, Jesus said millions. He said the word, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. And they would find out that they'd been on the wide road to destruction. The word for many in the Greek is polis. It means the vast majority. So, you know, unless you've been born again and have been, you know, literally have had a new heart, a new creation birthed in you by the power of the Spirit of God, you're probably still walking in your sin and you're still not born again. So, you know, that's the test. As to which English Bible I would read, most of the English translations include an Old Testament that was translated from the Masoretic text. But if you, so the prophetic writings in the Old Testament, whether you're looking at King James or New American Standard, you're going to find a discrepancy between the New Testament verses, which quote Psalm 40, for example. The quote in the New Testament was written from the Septuagint It was written before the Masoretic text was adulterated in about the year 300. Personally, I'd recommend probably New American Standard or King James, but I would say the Septuagint's probably worth a look. And I know for the Old Testament, I prefer Hebrew. You know, it's get your Strong's Concordance out and just do the homework in the meaning of the words, and you'll find a much deeper explanation of the scriptures.
Next up, we've got David in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Dave, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have two questions, if I could.
Okay, sir. Sure thing.
The first question, I don't think the gentleman would think about this. I hope so. I'd like to know when he thinks the rapture will occur when God takes a lot of people out of the earth to protect him from the 7 years of the Antichrist.
All right, let's do that one first. The rapture, Benjamin.
Yeah, well, the rapture is at the last trumpet. The last trumpet occurs at the end. The scripture cannot contradict itself. In the Proverbs, we read that the wicked shall be uprooted from the earth and the righteous shall remain. In the Hebrew, the word for shall remain is yathar. It means to leave a righteous remnant behind. The rapture of the church is at the day of the second coming. Jesus raptures the remnant into the clouds, and we accompany him to Jerusalem. The dead in Christ, of course, will be raised first. Jeremiah chapter 23 tells us that at the end of the age, a terrible deception would come into the church, and people would be told they would never see the day of evil, and that they, because they wouldn't be there, there would be a disappearing of God's people before any judgment would come. The scripture says, you know, that these men that teach this have not heard from the Lord, that the, what is really coming is a whirlwind, but a remnant will be preserved from this fire. The balance of the church will be purified. The church, the born-again church today is not sanctified. They're legally justified, but for the most part, the great apostasy has contaminated virtually all of the church. And the tribulation fire that is coming is going to cleanse the people and make them ready for the wedding feast. And so we will all get there. It's just a question of how long it takes us to make it. Most will lose their lives along the way. I know quite a few Christians that have died and gone to heaven. Only a remnant will survive to the last day to be raptured.
Next question, David, go ahead.
Yeah, the other question. I've always wondered about this. The Ark of the Covenant, there's two angels on top of the Ark of the Covenant. I always heard one of those angels was Lucifer and the devil. Is there any validity to this?
No. No, those are the image on the Ark of the Covenant was for two seraphim, and the word seraphim literally means fire angels. These are
angels.
The angels of fire that stand in the very presence of God, and their heads are bowed, their faces are covered with their wings, and they literally represent just the total humility of creation that bows before the throne of the Almighty Eternal God when he sits in his mercy seat to save a remnant of his people from the wrath that is surely to come.
There is a way out, though, for all of us, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And there's also going to be a way out for America. The United States is actually going to survive World War III. Now, our population will be dramatically reduced. We will not have 300 and whatever, 60 million people, 50 million people.
Of course, nobody will have their population if there's a World War III.
Well, the devastation will be most felt in the United States, probably. The communists also intend to wage war against ultimately the people of India and the people of Africa. They want to take the resources and the land from the existing population. So,
next up, let's go to Jason in Olympia, Washington. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jason.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
And I wanted to really express a positive outlook through what we're going through today. All of us are highly intelligent, and Benjamin, you are so knowledgeable on the Bible, and George, with your expertise of everybody that's been on this program, I just wanted to give up my utmost heart, my utmost respect, and let us all bring forth our best love in the name of Jesus, and your knowledge and expertise through all of this, as humans, as a big human family, I really believe through all this nightmare that we're going through right now, I think that we can get through this together. And the prophecies, the Bible, all of this spoke that we can do this together. We will get through this. I really believe that. I'm bringing forth my best love and honor. We're going to get through this. And we have the best kind of people in our family together in the name of Jesus. We're going to get through this. And I'm giving a shout out to my friend Elron at the cabin. And all of us will get through this. I swear to God, we're going to get through this. God bless.
Benjamin, I think he's right.
Well, we're all going through it. It's just a question of where we end up when we're done. You know, some of us will be invited into the bosom of the Father of lights and will live forever in the paradise of God. Others will face an eternal judgment.
Why is this all happening to us now? Was it prophetic that the timing was now too?
Exactly, yes. The timing is now. It had to come at some point. We were the people chosen to live in this very hour. And at the same time, we're also the people whose eyes were opened, because much of humanity does not know what time it is. It's midnight right now, and mankind doesn't know it.
A couple of Benjamin's books, The Day of the Lord is at Hand and The New Tactics of Global War, both of which we have been talking about as well. Benjamin, since we've been doing this, and you've been doing this as a financial advisor as well, inflation 7.5%, that's out of sight, isn't it?
Yeah, and that number is clearly understated. I mean, the true level of inflation, depending on what product mix you choose to measure, is a lot higher than that. Just a garage door, just to give you an example, a garage door, which today has a backlog of probably 6 months to get delivery, in the last 6 months, the price of garage doors has doubled.
Why?
It cost $2,500, now they're $5,000. Well, George, you know, material costs are up, but part of it is these companies just know there's supply shortages and people aren't going to shop around for price. The question today is, can I get delivery? You know, it used to be, what's your price? Now it's, do you have the product and can I get delivery? You know, don't even bother telling me the price. Just send me the bill.
Speaking of prices, Benjamin, the Super Bowl is this Sunday and parking in some areas near the stadium, $6,000.
For parking?
For parking. Somebody like renting out their driveway or something. $6,000. Who in God's name would pay that? But stick with us. We're going to come back and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Benjamin Baruch. Benjamin, what got a financial analyst interested in biblical prophecy?
Well, I got saved in 1971 when I was 15 years old. And wasn't long before I began to understand through studying the scripture that I was living in the last days. And so I guess I wanted to understand how the deep state had been controlling the economy, how they'd been manipulating world affairs to accumulate the vast fortunes that they control today, through which they basically exert their power over human history. You know, I decided I wanted to learn how to manage money and take some of that cash back from the evil ones for purposes of good in the earth. And so
good
for
you.
That's how I got here.
All right, back to the calls. Let's go to Jan in Brooklyn, New York. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Hi.
Your guest is very scary.
Well, it's what he says. His message is scary.
I hope I could sleep tonight.
I hope you can, too. Do you have a question?
Yes. I have two questions, okay? Listen, I want to know, does he have any idea when this is going to begin and how long will the devastation last for?
All right. When does it begin and how long does it last, Benjamin?
Well, the battle strategy against our country contemplates Russian attack on Eastern Europe, occupation of Eastern Europe, followed by an Iranian attack against Israel and U.S. air bases in the Middle East. drawing America into a war in the Middle East.
No, boy.
Then we'll see an attack by North Korea on South Korea and missile strikes on U.S. air bases in Japan. That will confront America with a two-front war.
And China takes, and China goes for Taiwan.
Or China will begin shooting at U.S. warships in the South China Sea. George, I think they want to take the United States out, and then Taiwan will merely surrender. There'll be no way to resist. And, you know, following China attacking U.S. warships, the world will become afraid at that point. I would expect the U.N. to call for emergency peace talks. During the intermission from the war, communist powers will resupply, reposition their forces for the ultimate goal, which is the nuclear strike on the United States, followed by the land invasion of North America. That whole process could take 6 months. You know, my estimate, the from the land invasion of our east and west coast to the point where the tide of war turns dramatically in the favor of the remnant of the American population that will still be left alive. It could be as quick as 6 months. So, you know, an invasion in September or October, you know, this year or next, you know, perhaps a 2 years out. It's going to be a question of when the communists decide they want to go. But the land invasion of America should be stopped within about 6 months. So if they invade in a month of September, October, we could have thrown them off by perhaps March, April of the following year. Now, we're going to survive this war by the intervention of God. It's not the American civilian population that survives that's going to stop the Russian military or the Chinese military, who will have invaded us with several million troops.
Divine providence.
Going to be the it'll be the intervention of God.
Interesting. In 1962, we had Kennedy and Khrushchev, and they together worked out the Cuban Missile Crisis before it was a nuclear disaster. Do we have those kinds of heads of state nowadays?
Well, no. Today, I think it'd be a better analogy would be to look to the Three Stooges for the principal leaders in the West. We don't have anybody capable of even understanding the magnitude of the problem, let alone dealing with it.
Next up, let's go to Joe in Long Island, New York. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Hey, Benjamin, not too optimistic, but I want to bring up two things. First of all, it's the blood pact with Satan. And, you know, I don't know if, where that's in the Bible, but as you study demonology, they do speak of blood pacts with Satan, and I wonder if injecting nanoparticles in the bloodstream might correspond with that. And then if you look at the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 65, verses 6 and 7, talks about people blaspheming God and a measure of payback going into their chest individually. You go to Revelation chapter 13, it used the word blaspheme four times, corresponding potentially with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And then Malachi 1-3 talks of God himself burning people to ashes individually and some people being left to walk on their ashes. So I'd ask you about those scriptures.
Well, yeah, the judgment of God's pretty severe, and that the nations have been walking in darkness. You know, the Amalekites sacrificed children in the time of the prophets. In the Valley of Hinnom, they built huge pyres of fire with wood as much as wide as a football field, and they would burn the wood, and then they would tie the legs of baby lambs, and they would also take human babies and throw them on the fire as a sacrifice to their demon gods. And the Lord brought a devastating judgment upon the people who did these evil things. And here in this last generation, these same evils are being repeated, although, you know, in under the guise of, you know, medical and scientific covers, it's really the same horrific sacrifice of innocent life all over again. You know, a saline abortion is essentially a burn, literally burns the fetus to death in the womb. The bodies come out charred. So, you know, what the reality of what's happening is too horrific for us to bear. And so the vast majority of us just look the other way and, you know, we close our ears. Nobody hears the cry of the innocent blood that's been spilled, but yet the blood cries out from the ground, and restitution, judgment is demanded, and judgment is surely coming. And the judgment that will come in this country, the scripture says it's more severe than anything that's ever happened before in the earth. So, you know, take the worst of what you can imagine, the Black Plague, World War I, World War II. They were child's play compared to what we are facing in this grave hour. So this is a good time to, you know, if you're not a believer, it's a good time to buy yourself a Bible and, you know, even if you don't have any faith, pray to the God that you don't believe in and ask him to give you the gift of faith and read the scriptures of truth, because they're alive. They'll bring life to you. You know, you don't need to die in what is about to happen. But the people that are walking under the curse of death, that refuse to repent and turn to the Father of light and the God who gave us life, they have chosen death. By rejecting God, they're choosing death. And it's unfortunate, because the death is eternal.
Okay, next up, let's go to Robin in Greenville, Tennessee. First-time caller for us. Hi, Robin.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to ask your guest, okay, you know, people, when they say they see the aliens and they have the big pointed heads and the eyes and everything, do you think that could be like the Nephilim evil spirits?
I think you've nailed it, yes. Well, you know, one of the ads that ran suggested that there was life outside of Earth. Well, I'm well aware that the what purports itself to be aliens in UFOs is very real. But the truth be told, these are manifestations of the satanic powers. And yes, it's either Nephilim or other demonic forms that will soon be revealing themselves to humanity. No doubt they will claim they're from some distant star system, but the reality is they came out of hell itself.
Since you've been doing this, Benjamin, have you ever seen a time period right now that echoes biblical prophecy as much as today?
Well, not only does the time period echo it, but when you look at the totality of all the fundamental variables, from the depletion of water, energy reserves, the grand solar minimum that is about to hit us with a vengeance, the AI technology that will render 2 billion jobs obsolete within a couple years, the changing climate conditions where we're actually going to go into a global cool down. You know, almost every story promulgated by the federal government is false. Our government has been lying to us throughout our entire lives. You know, the only difference between America and Russia is, in Russia, most of the people realize the government's lying to them. In the United States, somehow the majority of the people, I guess they watch too many programs of The Simpsons or something. They just haven't figured out we're getting lied to on both the red and the blue Kool-Aid channels.
Constantly. And
constantly. It's all lies. And, you know, if you really dig deep, go find Senator Johnson's symposium where he did a second opinion on COVID, brought in 25 of the very top physicians in the world and an entirely different medical diagnosis and therapy plan for treating this pandemic that has occurred. You know, we're being played for fools. And unfortunately, the majority of people are acting the part very well.
And remember the Gulf of Tonkin that got us into Vietnam, all made up.
Yeah, it never happened. I remember reading the front page of the L.A. Times, the Gulf of Tonkin incident. And I think I was probably 8 years old or something at the time. I was outraged that the North Vietnamese would fire a torpedo at one of our destroyers. Well, they never did. It was absurd. But, you know, the bombing of the Maddox in Havana Harbor in the late 1800s, which was the precursor for the Spanish-American War. We blew up our own warship. Governments have been using false flag operations from the beginning of time. If your enemy won't start the war, you start it for him.
And trick people.
And deceive people, yes.
Next up, let's go to Rich in San Francisco. Take it away, Rich.
Yeah, thank you. You know, Ben, it seems to me you're being misled by the very forces that you think you're overcoming, because the Christianity part of the Bible is full of lies, and you're playing right into their trap.
Give us an example, Richie.
Hello?
Yeah, give us an example.
examples of, I mean, the guy you had on recently, John Lash, he said that the whole Christian part of the Bible is full of lies. Remember him? He was on about a week ago or so. I think he's correct.
Benjamin, of course, you would not agree with that.
Well, I've met the Lord. I've spoken with him. I've heard his audible voice. He's translated me into the future. I've had angels appear. I saw 9/11 before it happened. I was able to discern from the scriptures of truth the timing of the beginning of the judgment of the United States. You're entitled to your opinion. I'll stick with the truth that's been revealed to me.
Let's take another couple more calls before the clock gets us. Let's go to Rini in Birmingham, Alabama, east of the Rockies. Hi, Rini.
Hey, how are you doing? I am calling about Mystery Babylon, and it's chapter 17 of Revelations that I wanted to mention and then have the caller speak on it. We're starting with verse 4, and it talks about the woman, the Mystery Babylon, and her colors being purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls and the golden cup and the abominations and filthiness of fornication in her hands and that she is the mother of all abominations, drunken, and these are all clues that God left us who this is, and drunken with the blood of saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. We know a lot about that. Seven heads and 10 horns. Verse 8, the beast that was, it was a ruling power, and then it was not, and then it is again. And the people that are not written in the Book of Life are going to wonder and be and take the mark of the beast. And this is the last little clue I want to give, because God gave all these clues. If he had given the name, then they would have just changed their name. He says that here's the mind and wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And you can ask any travel agency what city that is.
What do you think of her interpretation there, Benjamin?
Well, first of all, I want to say to all of Alabama, roll tide.
And, yeah.
Now that we got past that, I'm a little disappointed in the last game with Georgia. But anyway,
that happens.
Back to Revelation 17. Well, you know, first of all, as John the Apostle wrote in his letters, there are many antichrists. So there is more than one fulfillment to the prophecies in the scripture. And the Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17 has had more than one manifestation over the course of human history. But the seven heads are the seven kings and also seven mountains on which the woman sits. The kings are ruling authorities. The mountains, the word is oros in the Greek, and it means to be lifted up above the plain. It's the false religious institutions of these antichrist governments. The beast himself is the eighth king, and he's of the seven. The beast is actually Satan. He was in power until Jesus judged him at the cross. He will be given a short period of time to wreak his final havoc upon the earth before he'll go into eternal perdition. The seven kings represent the seven kingdoms that were the satanic ruling superpowers. They would represent Egypt, ancient Assyria, and then ancient Babylon. Egypt and ancient Assyria, of course, passed from the scene before King Nebuchadnezzar had his dream of the great statue in Daniel chapter 2, where we were introduced to Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and then Rome. And the seventh kingdom, which will be the one world government of the Antichrist, will be the final manifestation, and Satan himself is the eighth. The kingdom that it's talking about, if you read Revelation 17, it tells us the woman which you saw is a great city, and the word really means nation state. Rome was a city, but an empire. Babylon, a city and an empire. It's talking about an empire that reigns over the kings of the earth. And the merchants of the earth became rich in their trade with this empire.
Great interpretation, Benjamin. Thank you. We are out of time. Benjamin Baruch, his latest book, The Day of the Lord, is at hand. Up next, Bill Bean, The Exorcist.